Father, I truly do thank you for being here in our midst tonight. Father God, you see the darkness, you see the heaviness. Your presence was evident here in this house tonight. And Father God, those who didn't get set free are in a bad place. They're in a dark hole they can't get out of. And I'm asking, Father God, that during this service that you drop such an anointing upon your people that it will free them from the snare of the fowler. And Father God, all the accusations, all the judgments, all the backbiting, all the finger pointing, Father God, destroy it right now in the name of Jesus. It has no place in your house. And Father, I just thank you that you're so faithful. I thank you, Father God, that you stay with us even when we go to hell. You come down the corridors and you weep because we would not yield our hearts to you when we had the chance. And I know, God, you're cleaning us up totally, completely from the inside out. And I know, Father God, that you don't want us to walk in any kind of hate or discord or darkness. You spoke, Father God, and said you're bringing your holiness and your love across this nation like never before. And Father God, I desire that you start it tonight in this people who still are holding on to things that are taking them down into the abyss. Father God, shake it loose. Shake them, Father, and let them see they are the ones that have to do the crying out. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God's saying you're not free because you're really not prevailing in sincere prayer, trying to get yourself set free. God warned us this day and this hour was coming, and it is upon the body of Christ when you've turned your back on God once too often, and now the price is severe and you really don't want to pay it. Those songs tonight should have set you free. You should have been running to the altar crying out to God. And I didn't see that happening. So that means you're still transgressing God's laws. And you're still holding on to the darkness that's not going to... That really, I hear God say, take you to the pit. And you're not going to be able to be used by God as long as you have any of that darkness in you and all that junk from the enemy. So I'm just asking you tonight to really search your soul. Excuse me, and quit blaming somebody else because you're in a twit. You know, it's your life. You have to walk it out, and you don't have to stay there. Nobody's holding you there except yourself, your self-will. And you need to just go one way or another, because where you're walking, there is no space. God removed that space a long time ago. It's either dark or it's light. There's no gray area. God is sad right now because he really meant for you to be set free. Excuse me, but you held on. Always blaming somebody else for your mistakes. I'm believing that as the teaching goes on, that you will relent and you will allow God to set you free. I'm teaching back on, this morning God spoke, and tonight I'm teaching back on John Ramirez's book, How to Get Your Fight Back. I read the last chapter of the book, all right? This isn't what this is, but I read the last chapter. And when John was writing the book, he was once again blind. Remember, the devil had blinded him in the first part of his, well, in the end, he's blind once again. And he had... What do those things get when you get cataracts removed? What are they? What? No, what's the thing they put in there? They don't put a cataract in there. They take... Well, anyhow, he had his cataracts taken off. They put that lens in there that makes you see 20/20. And the enemy hit him so hard that it knocked those lenses loose. And he was going blind as he wrote this book. But he kept writing until he got the book finished, and he was going to go into surgery and have his eyes operate on, believing that God would give him back his sight. So what I'm saying here, this man has been through the gamut. He's been every place there is, but he never gave up on God, all right? He never blamed God for anything because he, as you know, because he was, good evening. Because he was the son of Satan, he knows it all, the good and the bad. So he said, I want to be transparent with you today. Many times in my walk with the Lord, I have allowed, now listen what he said, I have allowed the enemy to grip me along with the circumstances in my life, like some of you are here tonight. It has been a challenge, and there have been many times when I have felt as though there would not be a tomorrow. The fight has been fierce. At times I felt like the Apostle Paul. I'm quite sure some of you can relate, either listening or in here, you can relate to this tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Paul says we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. That doesn't sound like anything good, does it? We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. In other words, Paul is saying that they're constantly being threatened to be killed. You know, they're constantly in prison, constantly being chased. But at the bottom line is, Paul says, so then death is at work in him and his companion, but life is at work in you. Even though, you know, he's working for God with all of his heart, and he's out there preaching the gospel, the true gospel with all of his heart, and he's constantly being threatened of being killed, and finally they did, they carried it out, and doing all that was to bring life into you. They were given their life so you could live, is what he's saying here. Are you giving your life so somebody else can live? It's a question you have to answer yourself, and I'm quite sure I get more no's than I do yeses tonight. We're too busy thinking about poor me and not thinking about what our calling really is and about we're here to save lives, not to be blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Yes, God does want to bless us, but what I'm saying, we have to pay a price to see the soul saved. That's what I just said, all right? All right, the word, every believer will go through a dark night in a dark season. Get that through your little thick head right now. I've been through so many in my lifetime since I've been born again, I can't lost count. So every this is what John says, though. Every believer will go through a dark night in a dark season. The word of God is like the oxygen of your spiritual lungs that will keep you breathing until you get to the other side. What's going to keep you breathing? The word of God. There have been many nights and mornings I have gotten up in despair. Now, this is John Ramirez, who has been to hell and now he's saved. But he says, there have been many nights and mornings I have gotten up in despair, discouragement, emptiness, and torment in the mind and soul. Bottom line, he suffered. I just relate him to Paul. You know, John Ramirez is out there destroying the Christians, and he got saved, radically saved, and then now he's out there destroying the enemy's kingdom, but he's paying a price, paying a dear price. Same thing happened to Paul. John said, but I hang my hat on one scripture in my life, and I'll repeat it for you here in Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You know, we say that scripture, but we don't really know what it's telling us. We don't put any lead into it. We just say it. You know, you're in a bind. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. You know, that's just coming out of your lips. It's not coming from the very depth of your soul. Most people. One thing, John says, one thing I know is that I will not give up and I will never give in. Doesn't matter what he has to go through. One of my Old Testament heroes of the faith is Isaiah. Look at how the Lord built him up when he was at a low point. This is still John speaking. 1 Kings 19, chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab reported to Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets. Jezebel immediately sent a messenger to Elijah with her threat. The gods will get you for this, and I'll get even with you. Don't you know that that's what Satan's saying to you? When you're out here tearing down the powers of darkness, he's giving you the very same message. And that's why you're going through the junk you're going through, because you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Then she goes on to say, by this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as any one of those prophets. Now, when Elijah saw how things were, he ran for dear life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. Put your mind to David, right? Put your mind of you and I, right? We run to the shelter. He left his young servant there and then went on into the desert another day's journey. He came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it, all to just die. Enough of this, God. Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. I've said that. Maybe you haven't, but praise God, you might one day. Because the enemy, he's relentless and he never gives up. Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. Suddenly, an angel shook him awake and said, get up and eat. Right now, doesn't some of you that when you're in a dark place, don't you wish God would send an angel to shake you and say, get up and eat? Amen? Come on. He looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head were a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. He ate the meal and went back to sleep. The angel of God came back, shook him awake again, and said, get up and eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead of you. And that's like you and I. We need to eat more of the word, because the journey ahead of us is very, very long. If we're going to be the harvesters, we have a long journey ahead of us. He got up, ate, and drank his fill, and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked 40 days and nights all the way to the mountain of God, to Oreb. He walked. He didn't drive. He didn't fly. God didn't supernaturally, you know, take him one place. He walked. When he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. Where'd he go? Into a cave, still in hiding. Then the word of God came to him. So Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah said, I've been working my heart out for the God of the angel armies, said Elijah. The people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed the places of worship, and murdered your prophets. Poor old, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me, poor me. Then he was told by God, go stand on the mountain at attention before God. God will pass by. A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle and quiet whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak, went to the mouth of the cave, and stood there. A quiet voice asked, so Elijah, now tell me, what are you doing here? I don't know about you, but I've been in that place. And I run and I hid. And God gave me this scripture. That's why I know this scripture. He gave me this scripture and he says, I'm in none of that stuff. For you, it's going to always be a still, small voice. That's how I'm going to deal with you, with a still, small voice. Then he says, are you ready to get up and move again? But what did he say to Elijah? So Elijah, now tell me, what are you doing here? So he's saying that to you tonight. All right, you've done all your dumb stuff. So what are you still doing there? Are you ready to get up and move for God? Are you ready to get up and destroy the enemy's ground and bring in the harvest? You have to ask yourself those questions. John said, what an awesome story in the Word of God, and what a display of a man who carried the torch of victory. So when he said, and what a display of a man who carried the torch of victory, he was saying this is a mighty man of God, you know, really anointed of God and did all kind of miracles, but he ran. The enemy put fear in him and he ran. But God said, what are you doing there? He didn't come and smack him and say, I'm finished with you. All right? Let's reflect for a second on Elijah's resume in the battlefield. Oh, do you want a resume about you in the battlefield? I don't think anybody'd hire you to go to war. This was a man, that, you know, we're talking about Elijah. This was a man who killed 450 false prophets in one day. This was a man who was able to pray and close the heavens for 3.5 years. An awesome display of the power of prayer. Then he prayed and the heavens opened and rain came. Elijah outran the chariot of Ahab and he knew the voice of God as clear as day. These are all those things these wonderful men did that ran and hid in a cave. So quit beating yourself up. I think God told somebody here this morning, you're too hard on yourself. But one word from the devil's mouth paralyzed him with fear and sent him on the run. One word. I'm going to kill you, buddy. I'm coming after you. He was so tormented, he got to the point where the only prayer he had left to the Lord was, kill me. How many of you said that? Just kill me, Lord. I've done that. Just kill me. Get me out of this mess. I'm being honest with you. Come on. Some of you have done that too. You just won't admit it. Might not even put it in words, but it was in your thought life. All right, and then John said, what's the name of your cave? When we allow the enemy to put us in that state and condition, we are not only running from the devil, but we are also running away from God as well. And that is so true. How many victories has God given us in our walk with him? And now we are hiding in the cave of despair, the cave of fear and unbelief, the cave of sickness, bondage, and torment. So what is the name of your cave? John's asking you. God's asking you that tonight. What is the name of your cave? How awesome is God to send an angel to minister to Elijah, to refresh and bless him, because God was not finished with him yet, and their journey was long. You know, if you're still breathing, you're still standing, God's not finished with you yet. I don't care what you've done. I mean, he might one day be finished with you, though, if you don't get out of your sin nature. And that not might be, that will happen, because he's not going to tolerate the sin nature much longer, because we have a works to do. We have a harvest out there that needs to be brought in. And God's wanting to do that by this fall. We've already gotten to the first day of summer, haven't we? So I was thinking just yesterday, well, it'll be July and August, and September's when fall is, right? We don't have much longer to get it together. Because God's not going to use you if you're not together. You know, you're either going to have to work hard or start walking away. I'm just being honest with you. Don't waste your time if you're not going to get it together. Okay. Well, in the cave, Elijah heard the earthquake and the fire, but God was absent from them. Then a still small voice showed up to reassure Elijah that God was with him. And he's with you also. He has not left you nor forsaken you. Believe me, if he's left you or forsaken you, you are going to know it. You will feel so abandoned, so cold, and so indifferent. I know what it's like to, I haven't ever been abandoned, but I know what it's like to walk 24/7 in the Holy Spirit and then do something upset God and then only be anointed one behind the pulpit. The minute I didn't want to step down behind the pulpit because I knew the minute I did, I was on my own. God made me go through that for a year, and it's not a good place to be. I had to blame my own self, though. You can't blame others for what you do. Well, you know, if it wasn't for them, get out of here. I don't know. I hear that every day. I don't want to hear them. Well, you know, if they weren't doing drugs around me, I could quit drugs. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you really wanted to quit drugs, you could stand in the middle of a drug factory and not desire it. Oops, I stepped in somebody's toes. All right, God will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, as I wrote that, you know, this is still John speaking. When I wrote that, you know, I really get tired of writing that. I really do, because God says it over and over and over and over again, and people still stay in their sin. I mean, this is like blaspheming God. when you keep saying, well, God will never leave me nor forsake you. He left Samson. He left Samson. And God showed me one day, I was supposed to be fasting, and I wasn't. This was years ago. And I was ministering in here, ministering to somebody. And while God's talking to that person, he gave me a vision. He said, always remember Samson. He shook his head, and there was no strength. But see, what I was doing, and I'm being honest, what I was doing, I wasn't fasting. So every time I come into church, I would test God to see if he was still with me. And God said, I'm not always going to be with you. You need to do what I've told you to do. I had to fear the Lord in me, and I started fasting. So you can't play games with God. I don't care who you are. It doesn't work that way. You might not bear your soul like I do just to help you, but you know what you're doing and what you're not doing. All right, so God's voice to Elijah was like a cup of cold water to refresh him because the journey was not over. The lesson of this story is you can have a polished and victorious resume, but in the next chapter of your life, when God wants to bring you higher, let me just say one thing, new levels, new devils. And didn't God tell us that when we started in this thing in the deliverance ministry? He said, you're a new level and you're working with new devils. John says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's time to get your fight back. What is gripping you now that you cannot shake off? What is the name of that Jezebel? You know, and see, Jezebel is not really a person. Jezebel is a spirit. Because remember when I told you all that God spoke to the Jezebels are back in the church? He didn't mean individuals. He just meant the spirit of Jezebel from hell was operating in his spirit, and it was trying to destroy you. Well, I got to find this woman or this man is doing all this Jezebel stuff to me. Well, it is a spirit. You know, it's a spirit. All right, do you find yourself like Elijah wanting to quit on God? I never wanted to quit on God, but sometimes I got tired and just wanted to sit down. You know, I'd still be there and still help God, but I didn't want to be up front. I did not want to be in the front line any longer. I've been shot at often enough and hit, you know. And I said, God, just let me rest. But he said, no, I can't let you sit down. You have to keep moving. And some of you might be saying, God, just let me rest. And God's telling you, no, you can't rest. You have to keep moving. There's a work for you to do. And God said, when my people sit down, they forget to get back up. And that's why he has to keep us moving. Because when you sit down, the enemy comes and he makes sure you stay down. Are you listening here? It might be hard to get up, but you know you need to get up or you're going to be spiritually dead. All right, do you find yourself like Elijah wanting to quit on God? Do you want to quit on your family? Well, you didn't say amen to that. Your marriage, amen to that. Your ministry, amen. Your purpose and your destiny, amen to all those. Not me, but you know that goes on in the body of Christ. You need to understand that spiritual drama has taken place. You are fighting this thing and it is still coming at you harder than before. This is not about a fight or a spiritual warfare moment. This is about trusting God, going to a higher place that he is trying to take you to. See what he said? Trying to take you to. You have to do your part too. He won't do it by himself. He's trying to get you there. And you're trying to stay where you are comfortable. Let me tell you one thing. You don't want to stay in a comfort zone. The comfort zone will kill you spiritually. You want to get right up there in the front, in the battle, you know, where you can be shot at. You know, I was watching Tiana, I think it is. I get them girls mixed up. She's up here dancing, and she had that shirt on. And, you know, God had showed me earlier today that, you know, when the men or women enlist in the army, they know that when they go, they might never come back. They enlist knowing they might be killed. He said, I wish my body would do that. Because when you get born again and you tell God, here I am, use me, you're enlisting in his army, but you aren't enlisting to the point where you're ready to die for your brother and your sister. And the soldiers have been, like, look at Russia. They were going, they knew they were never going to come back. They knew that when they went out in that battle, they were going to be killed instantly. But yet they went. Look at our men and our women. They know that they might not ever come back from when they were sent overseas. But, you know, God said it's going to be on American soil. And, you know, if you're enlisted in God's army, you might just get shot. And are you ready to stand at all costs? Some people aren't. Just, you know, you're just who you are, and you won't change your mind. All right, in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the beloved John and asked him to come up higher. What's God been asking us to do? Come up higher, because he had something to show him and us. Do you understand that when you really give your all to God, God's going to take you into the spirit realm and show you things that you need to bring back and tell to the people? But you just say, here I am, Lord, use me. But then you don't want to be used because you don't ever do anything. You just sit, you know, and just don't do nothing. God has called you to get in the war, battle. He's called you to come up higher because he truly wants to reveal things to you. God told me one time, he said, daughter, I'm not going to show you signs, wonders. And he said, that I'm not going to show the lightning and the thunder and all that. He said, you and I are going to talk face to face as I did with Moses. And everything God, he talks to me face to face. He doesn't give me, you know, dreams and visions. He talks to me face to face, and he tells me exactly what he wants me to do, exactly what's going to be going on. He said, I call your friend. That's a good place to be with God. If you're saying, oh, I want to see dreams, I want to see visions, why don't you say, I'd like to hear your still small voice, Father. There's such intimacy with God when he speaks to you instead of showing you dreams. Oh, I had a wonderful dream. I would rather you say, God spoke to me last night, and this is what he revealed to me. You see what I'm saying? Dreams and visions doesn't really do anything. But when God speaks to you, it brings a whole new revelation of heaven to earth. Revelation 4:1 in the Message Bible says, then I looked, and oh, a door opened into heaven. The trumpet voice, the first voice in my vision, called out, ascend and enter. I'll show you what happens next. See, this is what God wants to do. He wants to show us what's going to happen next. And see, this is my little twit right here. Because, you know, when I first started, God showed me everything is going to happen 10, 20 years down the road. And I've been saying, God, you have not been showing me what's going to be happening down the road. And I'm upset with that. I want to know what's going to happen, first of all, so I can warn the people. And I can also get myself prepared for what's coming. All right? I really don't know what he's doing with me right now in that area. But I know he's not doing what he used to do. And I sat and for hours saying, God, please show me something. I just wasted my time. Yeah, might as well got up and went and did something, and he would speak to me while I'm working. But that's really what we need to be doing. So he told John, I'll show you what happens next. Many times we miss a higher comment, moments with the Lord Jesus Christ. We say to the Lord, I'm under attack. I prayed, I fasted, and I did everything. God is saying to you, as he said to Elijah, go back. Face and confront what you have been running away from, and I will meet you there. Go back, face and confront what you have been running away from, and I will meet you there. Get back your fight. Some of you in here tonight, you need to go back and face what you've been running from and sticking under the covers so nobody sees, and you need to face it and tell God to meet you there so he can set you free. Amen. God has a plan for what is in front of you. Hear that. God has a plan for what is in front of you. It is time to shut down the voice of the enemy and his game plan against your life. It is time to obey God. The way to get your fight back is not only by praying, fasting, and going to church. These things are good and commendable, and they are a way to get your rhythm back until you see Jesus in the flight. Then he says, I'm talking to leaders right now. Are you a leader? He told me everybody he sends in here is supposed to be a leader. And you're in here so you can be trained to hear the voice of God and go forth and do mighty works for the Father. Satan has managed to get the church off the message of the certainty of Christ Jesus. Isn't that true? Satan's mission is nothing more than to turn God's people away from the true gospel message. Once you're off the truth of who Jesus Christ is, bitterness and resentment enter in. And instead of living in peace with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work in and through you, you will end up with a disturbed spirit. Once you're off the truth of who Jesus Christ is, bitterness and resentment enter in. You know, I have read over the last 2 years of so many people who were in church all their life. They ministered, you know, they were pastors, they were, you know, were in the band or whatever. And just all of a sudden, just boom, just like that, they said there's no God, there's no Jesus, and they left the church. And they're totally turned their lives over to Satan. In fact, I have a grandson who, he just loved God, and he even preached in here, and you know, he was a wonderful person. And one day we left here, he was 18, and he stood right back there, he looked at me, and he said, "I'll never come back into church again." And he didn't. I think he's 42 now. He went a road of total destruction. You know, something grabbed him that day, and something took him out of the will of the Father. But God's told me they will return. And that's what I'm believing in and trusting in. Are you listening? He was happy. But as he left, the enemy got a hold of him. And as I read these people's stories, the very same thing happened to them. Forever lost right now. And Satan's doing a number on them. You know, and all these people did that. Do you want the number? I don't think you do. I think you need to fight like you've never fought before. You need to fast like you never fasted before. And you need to be praying like you never prayed before until God sets you free. Satan's mission is nothing more than to turn God's people away from the true gospel message. He's done that very well. Once you're off the truth of who Jesus Christ is, bitterness and resentment enter in, and instead of living in peace with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work in and through you, you end up with a disturbed spirit. How many of you have a disturbed spirit? Do you even know what that means? That means you're in total unrest, and nothing brings you any peace. Jesus must remain center in your heart, mind, and soul. All of us around the world see the body of Christ under severe attack, not because God is not powerful, He is all powerful, but because we need to get our fight back. That's the bottom line here tonight. When we get our fight back, no matter what we are going through, we will see Jesus in all our present trials, standing with us in our pain, our suffering, and in our crisis. You won't go through them happy, but you'll go through them. You'll stay with God because you know that God is for you, not against you. And you won't give up on God. You'll just keep plugging on, and no matter what, just plugging on and plugging on and plugging on, you know. And then one day, Satan's gone, and you're back into that precious, in the precious arms of Jesus, and all is well. I used to say there for a while, all is well to everybody, and God said, quit saying that. He's because all is not well with these people you're telling all is well, because they're not following me the way they need to be following me, so I quit saying it. You understand this? God is with us in all things. Do not look at yourself, or you will lose the fight and never get your fight back. That is so true. Instead of saying ouch, you should be saying hallelujah. No one thing, let it be real to you. Satan cannot shape or test a faith of any believer without God's permission. Say this again. Satan cannot shape or test a faith of any believer without God's permission. God has a purpose and a plan behind every trial. He told us we were going through Job experience. He said the whole body of Christ was going through Job experience. And God gave Satan permission to touch you. Or he couldn't have touched you. He could not take you through a Job experience. Getting your fight back is getting your faith back. The word makes it clear that the devil's main goal is to destroy the faith of those who love Jesus. Many times in a battle, we stand on our own faith, our own reasoning, our own judgments, and our own thinking. Isn't that true? So true. just as Elijah did when he told God that all the prophets were dead and he was the only one left. Pity party as big as it could get, wasn't it? And God set him straight. Hey, you're not the only one. I have some hidden in a cave. And well, how many was it? 114 or something like that? He had him hidden in a cave. I don't know how many was. Doesn't matter. Look it up. I forgot right now. So I'm sorry. You're not the only one. Well, God used to always tell me, you're not the only one in this boat. In other words, what I was going through, I was not the only one going through this. That there was many more going through the very same thing. He said, just stay in a boat. And I'll see you to the other side. Sometimes it's hard to stay in a boat, especially if you don't like water, right? And you don't know what's going to happen to that boat. I want to share something about Peter when Jesus said to him in Luke 22:31, this is all John speaking, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Peter meant well when he responded to Jesus' words that night at the Last Supper, and this is where this happened at the Last Supper. He said, Luke 22:33, this is what Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Boy, some of you have said that over and over and over again, all right? This is a bold spiritual statement, but This is a bold spiritual statement, but the truth is that it only represented Peter's flesh. Come on. The Bible warns in 1 Corinthians 10:12, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Oh, that hits some of you religious people right on the head. Come on. We know how the story goes when Peter was questioned about his faith later that night after Jesus' arrest. Rather than boldly declare his allegiance to Jesus, he denied Jesus and then panicked and ran for his life. I often think, what would I really do, you know, if I was, you know, captured somehow or other and they said that, you know, deny Christ or die, what would I really do? I'd say, I'd stand up and I wouldn't deny Christ, I'd just die. But, you know, I mean, I really do know I would do that, but a lot of people say that, but would they really? You know, would they really? And, you know, to die is better because you'll be in heaven in the arms of Jesus. And if you lived, you just denied Christ and you're going to live utter hell here on this earth. All right, but listen to the rest of Jesus' words to Peter spoken at the supper in Luke 22:32. He says, first of all, he told him Satan has asked to sift him as wheat. But then he said, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Now look what else he says. And when you have turned back, so right at that point, his faith was going to fail. He says, strengthen your brothers. God gave me that scripture when I first started ministering. Something was going on, and he said to me, Satan has asked to sift you. I knew that had to be the word, so I looked it up. And then and I thought, well, God's praying for me. I can make it through this. Do you understand that Satan has asked to sift every one of you in this room? That's why you go through the trials and tribulations you go through. Satan's trying to prove to God that if the trial's hard enough, you're going to walk away. You wimps. Come on. And some of you do. You're the biggest crybabies I've ever seen in my life. You let a little something go wrong and you say, I'm a fighter. No, you're not. I watch you. You're no more a fighter than a chair is. Let's one little thing go wrong. Let somebody, God tell you somebody's coming to get you. Oh, well, come on. You know, there were some people coming against me and so one day I said, what they're doing is not going to affect me any longer. Really? Yeah, really. And it didn't affect me from that point on. I was letting it affect me. I was being sucked into that little hole that they had. I could care less. See, you don't allow what anybody's saying about you to affect you. God said he would vindicate you. And when you allow it to affect you, see, I'm telling on myself, when you allow it to affect you, then you're not trusting God to vindicate you. And who cares if God vindicates you or not? You know, this is what I said one day. I said, who cares what they think? Who cares what they say? It's God that called me, and God told me this years ago, it doesn't matter what man has to say. They didn't call you, and they can't stop you. Remember that. Keep that foremost in your, in the very front of you. Keep it there all day long. Man did not call you. God called you. So man cannot set you down. One time I was really distraught, and I said, God, just let me shut the doors. We only had 5 people here, the staff. I said, we're not doing anything for anybody. Let me shut the doors down. He says, the doors are never going to close. I opened them, and I'm not going to close them. He said, you can close them if you want, but I will never close these doors. So we just never closed the doors. We kept right on going, and God is faithful. I don't care if you just touch one soul. It's worth everything you go through. But see, you don't even want to do that. I've heard pastors say, well, if I can't have 100 head in my church, I'm not even going to preach. You know, what are you in this for then? You know, if there's just one, well, remember Kenneth Copeland came here to Philadelphia, rented that great big place up there. One man showed up. He said, I gave that man all I had. He preached a sermon to that one man. He didn't. I remember one time when they used to bring the tent meetings into this area from Virginia, wonderful Virginia, religious bunch of people. I took my mother there, and the man said, it was the second night, he said, there's only 15 people here. He said, you people don't want God, and I'm taking my tent down, and get out. That's what he's, just get out. And I'm trying to get my mother saved. And she said, well, Barbie, why did he kick us out? I said, that's religion. That isn't the spirit. He packed his tent up. He said, I'm never coming back here again, and I'm going to tell all the pastors in Virginia, don't come. I'm glad he told him that. We didn't need that. Amen. I like Virginia really too. Lived there for a while. But what I'm saying is, he said, if he can go to Virginia and have his tent packed out every night. He was looking for the offering plate. He wasn't looking for souls. So what are you out there for, the offering plate or souls? You have to think all this stuff I'm going to tell you right now. Am I boring you? Okay, thank you. All right, I've lost my place. Okay, this is one of the most, thank you. It's one of the powerful verses in the whole Bible, and God is doing the same for us today. The bottom line is that your home, your children, your marriage, your health, your job or your career, and your ministry are under attack. If you don't know that by now, we're going to have a baptism. You come up and get dunked again, because there's something wrong with you if you can't see how dark the world has become and how Christians are being persecuted. You're trying to, they took the Bible out of the school, put the Bible back in the school, took the Bible out of the library, had to put it back in. And why did they have to put it back in? Because the church raised up and said, we're done with this. You're not going to take God totally out of America. And I really think this 4th of July that we should celebrate this like we've never celebrated in our life. We need to let people know that we stand for America. We love America. And it is God's country as well as everything else is God's country. I'm so sick and tired of people fighting over people. It's sickening. Well, you know, when you go to hell, that you'll fight down there too. And you won't win any battles. Why can't we just live in peace and harmony? And I know we can, because the Bible says there will always be wars and rumors of wars and all that junk. But why do we have to be part of it? Come on. I want to be, I don't know about you, but I want to be peculiar and different. I want when people see me saying, she's nuts. Because that's what my family says about me, you know. I want to be peculiar and different. You can think all you want, but I know that I serve a living God. And I know that there's a work for us to do here on this earth. And if we would just allow God, he'll show you how to do it. All right, I am not, John said, I'm not downplaying anyone's situation. And I have good news for you. God has not forsaken you. The book of Hebrews 13:5 tells us he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then John says, you cannot destroy what you cannot see. You cannot destroy what you cannot see. It is time to get your fight back once and for all. This is how you do it. In order to get your fight back, you have to get your spiritual vision back. You cannot defeat what you cannot see in the spirit realm. These prayers will put you in a position to obtain your spiritual eyesight to see the schemes and the wiles of the enemy of your soul. Ask God for spiritual vision. Once again, John said, you cannot destroy what you cannot see in the spirit realm. You will never get your fight back without spiritual insight into battle. I want to stop there. I'm going to tell you right now, saints, you better learn how to fight quickly. You better learn how to fight on the way, not each other, but the devil on the way home. You better decree and declare to the devil that you are no longer going to be his play toy that he bats around. That you are now going to, the roles are going to be reversed, and you're going to bat him around. And not only bat him around, but kick him totally and completely out of your life. Don't you understand that the enemy is sapping everything out of you? He's sapping everything. God has given you all the giftings, you know, all the knowledge, all the information. He's taking it away from you, and he's leaving you hopeless. And I'm hearing, this is what God's saying, homeless. He's leaving you totally and completely destitute, and you're still serving the devil. And I'm hearing God saying it's migration time. It's time to migrate out of the enemy's camp into God's camp and stand in the fullness of the Godhead and be anointed from on high from God so you can go forth and do the things that God is calling you forth to do. Declare, John says, declare and decree the scripture over yourself in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, and right now we're talking about opening a door that you have from your prison cell and getting out. Receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Some of you in here, you sort of make God mad, and you make me mad too. You're always blaming somebody else because of your bondage, and you need to stop. You are your own bondage. It's your vessel. It's your will, and you need to stop blaming. Well, if I didn't have to contend with this, get out of here. God contends with you every day. If he didn't have to contend with you, he'd have 20 million others he'd have to contend with. But he contends with all of us. So where do you get off saying that? Think about this. Well, you know, my wife left me. My husband left me. My kids have forsaken me. On and on and on you go. That's a bunch of hogwash. Do you want to serve God or not is the bottom line. Do you really want to pay the ultimate price? And it could be your life. Are you listening? You know, I'm just going to use myself as an example right now. You know, I have cancer in my liver. And I looked, they sent me a thing saying 11 signs that your liver is failing, period. I have 10 of those signs. The only thing I don't have is jaundice. And you just don't understand what I go through every day, just trying to stay alive. But God said the devil can't kill me, so I'm going to stay alive. It's a fight. It's a fight. You get up in the middle of the night, and you're praying, and you're crying out, devil, I don't pray to God. I tell the devil what he's not going to do to me. It is a fight. It'd be easier. I could just lay down and die. I really could, because I have died twice in this mess. It's harder for me to fight and stay alive, but I have a work to do. I have found out my grandkids think not only my two I have here, but the other two are raised. They think I'm going to live forever. They said, she's just never going to die. But then God said I was going to go into rapture, so they're true, right? But I have to fight. And then not only that, then I fell the other day, landed on my tailbone. And that thing gets sore every day, and I don't even have a tailbone because it's removed, and I can't figure out why it doesn't heal. So that's why you see me walk a little funny. It hurts. But I'm still fighting. I'm not giving up. I don't have no play toys. If you have play toys, throw them in the trash. Get rid of them. Burn them. Take them out and dump them alongside. Do whatever, but get them out of your house. You shouldn't be watching dumb TV either. Ask my kids. I'm constantly on them about, they don't have that, but constantly telling them what's going to happen if they go the way of the evil one. If you went that way and you got yourself messed up, guess who's going to have to get yourself unmessed? And don't say, well, God just doesn't love me. Get out of here. He's put up with your junk all this time and you're going to tell me he doesn't love you? All right, John says there are two rhythms to getting your fight back. First, get your spiritual eyes back, and then destroy what you can see. Pray the Arsenal prayers to open your spiritual eyes, and that was on the handout I gave you. I have found out, and you need to, if you leaders in here, you need to listen to this. I have found out when I'm praying for people, God, even on the phone, God will let me see what really is going on in that person's life, and then he'll speak to those situations. Sister Nancy called me a couple of weeks ago, and she told me tonight when you prayed, there was prayers over me, and what I was praying was exactly, I only pray what God says to pray. She said, I was set free. She said, one thing you prayed about was to get the poverty mentality off her. She said, she's just been blessed upon, blessed upon, blessed. But see, and some people come to me and they talk to me and I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm not hearing. And then I'm not seeing either. But I'll just keep seeking God's face. And when I do, then I will call you back or I'll talk to you face to face. Because if you're just telling them something that you just want to tell them, nothing is happening to them. You have to see and hear what's going on in a person's life to truly set them free. Are you ready to be set free? That's God's question to you. Do you really want to walk in the fullness of who God is calling you to walk in? Do you really want to be a spiritual leader that will go out there and God just, I'm the happiest person in the world, and I'm the most fought person. Well, I'm not the most fought person in the world, but I'm fought a lot because everybody else is going through fights too. But I'm happy. I'm a happy person. Why? Because I serve a Father who never leaves me nor forsakes me. You know, and I don't say that, I mean that with all my heart. You know, and he's been with me since I came out of my mother's womb. My mother always told me, she had six children. She said, you were so different than all my other children. Just something so different about you all your life. See, my father was with me. He's always kept me. He didn't keep me from trials and tribulations. He didn't keep me from men trying to rape me. He didn't keep me from drowning and dying so many times, but he was always with me because I'm still alive. Your God's not like that. If you're not serving God and you're serving the other God, that other God is not like that. He will leave you in a heartbeat, and he will disgrace you in a heartbeat too. So, you want your fight back tonight? The praise and worship was geared for that. The altar's open to get your fight back. The altar's open for God to drop his anointing upon you where the enemy won't be able to come and deceive you any longer.